You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Be seated, please. Well, I'm sure the news got around to you that rocked the sports world this week. The GOAT, the greatest of all time, Nick Saban, has called it a retirement. A career well done, 7 national championships in his coaching career at the collegiate level. And then likewise, a professional coach, Bill Belichick, who has 6 Super Bowl victories on his resume. He's no longer going to coach the New England Patriots. So like the dawning of a new day in the sports world. And I was thinking about and reflecting on their accomplishments and achievements and thinking about calling. What is your calling? We had these examples here in our scriptures today of Samuel and Nathaniel and Philip being called. Many would say that the passion and aspiration and inspiration brought by coaches like Saban and Belichick is greatness personified. It solidifies their place, that they surely had fulfilled their calling in some way, at least in the sports arena. And I came across this quote by Nick Saban this week where he said, quote, "I don't think it's about who you play, I think it's about who you are." Kind of how he had a way to psychologically really help his players and his team solidify around their goal. Kind of like the things outside of us can't really dictate what we do. And I think that's all well and good in sports and pursuing certain kinds of goals. And I want to ask, though, this question this morning. What is God calling you today? Have you ever asked, what am I called to? Many, at least in social media circles, there's this kind of developed TikTok or Instagram posting around the idea of rise, grind, and manifest. Have you heard this? Rise, grind, and manifest. Like, this is going to be a new day, a little bit of a carpe diem, seize the day. You go out there, you get yourself ready, and if you put in the work and the effort, you will somehow come out with a product on the end. And maybe this helps people as they attempt to manifest through positive affirmation or a mantra to help them in their career or their finances, or maybe just for personal life hacks like time management or weight diet and weight loss or personal goals like that. And I think that's all well and good, but that's not what we're talking about when we talk about calling. Is it? Instead of carpe diem, this idea of seizing something, looking inward and coming out and developing what your hopes are and digging into those, it's living coram Deo, before the face of God. Living in the presence of and under the authority of and to the honor and glory of another, the caller, the one who calls. And the Bible is replete with characters who are surprised at how God calls them. Think of Abram and Sarai, who are called out of their context, out of their neighborhood and their known relationships, to leave and go to a land that God will show them. And he will give them progeny even in their old age. And then we have Eli in our 1 Samuel passage today. Eli the priest, who it's said that his eyesight is not so good, reflecting the spiritual temperature, perhaps, of Israel in the day of the judges, in the darkness of the day, where maybe everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes instead of looking to the Lord. But it's a young boy, isn't it? It's Samuel, the boy who had been offered by his mother Hannah into the service of the Lord to live there in the temple. He's the one that in the middle of the night is interrupted in his sleep, and he hears this voice. And then he's the one, Samuel, ultimately, who becomes the prophet, who goes to the town, and he calls on Jesse, and he says, "Jesse, bring your sons here." And it's not the oldest or the strongest or the brightest. It's, in fact, not one of the sons that Jesse brought to the meeting at all, that Samuel says, "The Lord has chosen this one, and it is David, the shepherd boy." God calls in surprising ways, and here is Jesus in John 1 calling Nathanael and Philip. Before they were out looking for him, Jesus said, "I already saw you. I knew you." See, Jesus initiates here. It's not just that Nathanael maybe was responding to Philip's invitation, but he had some kind of a yearning, but he certainly didn't know Jesus was the one. He was going to follow his buddy's recommendation. He was like, well, let's go check it out. And Jesus says, here is a faithful Israelite. Here is one in whom there's no guile, there's no deceit. He's straight up. He's studied the Torah. He's said his prayers. He has gone to synagogue, and he's given alms, and he's a good one, a straight one. And Jesus is saying, I see you. My eye is on you. You might be representative of Israel and the type of person that is looking for my coming. But he says, who is the one who is, Jesus in another place says, who is my brother and my sister and my mother? It's the one who does the will of God. That's a true Israelite, right? The one that walks in the way, that follows the Torah. And yet, doing the will of God, it necessitates for us knowing God. To fulfill a calling, you have to receive a call and respond to it. So it's hearing God, distinguishing His voice in the cacophony of all the noise around us. How do we hear God's voice? I think religious or not, every person has a quest for meaning. We're trying to make meaning out of our lives. There's maybe some vague notion of what we're called to be a certain kind of person, or to fit into a certain kind of realm in our society. And oftentimes this takes place in our career or vocational aspirations. Vocation. What is your vocation? Well, vocation comes from vocare, the voice, the call. Frederick Buechner, a Christian writer, he says that calling is where your deep gladness and the world's hunger meets. I think that's pretty helpful. What brings you joy and where there's space and need in the world, right? And of course, we have to consider our own personal history, relationships, the different aspects of the tapestry of our experiences, our own yearnings and desires alongside our abilities and our giftings. That's good. And yet we can't just look inwardly. There's this call. To respond to a call means we have to listen outwardly. We have to listen to the voice of the good shepherd who says, my sheep hear my voice, and they respond to me. I remember in finishing up seminary, my friend Phil was a few years older than me. He had already had a career, but his father was a pastor, and he went to seminary, and he knew he had a sense of call into ministry. He just wasn't sure what it was, and he wasn't settled in a denomination. And as we were getting ready to graduate, he was really unsure about what he was going to do. But as we were talking about it, he said something very wise that stuck with me. He said, you know, I might be unsure of what my career is or my job will be, what the next steps are. But one thing I have a handle on is what I think God is calling me to. He's calling me to be a good and faithful husband to Jenny. He's calling me to be a good brother, to be a loving friend. And first and foremost, I know I'm being called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. This much is clear. This much we can get when we read God's word, right? Sometimes the circumstances and particularities of what is my vocation? How am I going to earn a living? How am I going to find personal satisfaction? Those aren't always the questions that we're going to just look in here and go to the index and find an answer to. But no, but what we're getting in the revelation of God through the person and work of Jesus Christ is that we are all called to be faithful in this world to the pattern and image that God has given us, called to be in relationship with Him. Is God calling you today? Are you hearing His voice? Calling you to live in hope, not into nihilism of our culture. Called to live towards a bigger purpose than perhaps money or status or security or the things that we tend to chase. But called to belong to God, to enjoy Him, to worship and serve Him for His glory forever. Coram Deo, living before His face. Recognizing that He always sees us. You see, our primary calling today is not in our activity, not in our action. It starts with the caller. There is one who is calling you and me. Just as Jesus said, follow me to Philip and Nathanael, He's saying to you and to me today, follow me. You are adopted as my sons and daughters. You are marked in baptism. You are fed in communion. You're nourished by the means of grace as you encounter God's word. You are loved and provided for by this triune God. And then you are sent out from places like this, weekly worship, into the world to serve and love in Christ's name. Sometimes it really is the most basic of things. Love God, love your neighbor. And we're invited to do those things, whether we're in the office or in the home, whether at the coffee shop or the grocery store or doing all the mundane tasks that are before us. We are invited to live as forgiven and free children of God, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love how Jesus responds to Nathanael saying, "Hey, I saw you. I saw you when you were sitting under that fig tree." And whether Nathanael was sitting under a fig tree earlier that afternoon or that morning, or whether this is, I tend to think this is Jesus saying, "I saw you when you were in that vulnerable place. I saw you when you were doubting and confused, unsure of what to do next. My eye was on you when you were at your lowest, when you were lonely or on the brink. I saw you. I still see you, and I'm calling you. Come, follow me, regardless of your circumstance, your condition." Because Jesus, of course, calling Nathanael a true Israelite, the one before Nathanael is the truest of Israelites, is he not? The perfect Son of God, fulfilling all of the messianic hopes and promises, what Moses and the prophets had written about. See, this is what John's gospel is intended to do, to show us who Jesus is and what he came to do. John the Baptist had already affirmed his ministry, and Jesus is now assembling his core followers, revealing himself, he will, throughout the book of John to in miracles, manifesting the kingdom in his own prophetic actions. And Nathanael responds by saying, you must be the King of Israel. This is the one for whom we have waited. And he rightly designates the place Jesus belongs, on a throne. Responding to this call to follow him, he recognizes who Jesus really is. See, Jesus, he wants all of you and me. He doesn't want to be an accessory to our already pretty good lives. He wants to be the center, the whole, around which everything else orbits for us. Our priorities, our concerns, our loves, having them be reordered and reshaped and realigned by the Son of God. And so it's interesting that in closing this passage, he says, "Truly I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." All the revelation of God points to this, the person and work of Jesus Christ. And of course, this is a strange, perhaps, reference for us. What is he talking about? Angels that going up and down ladders. Of course, this is a reference back to the book of Genesis where Jacob lays down at a place called Peniel, and he lays down his head, and he has this vision where God shows him heavens opened and angels going up and down the staircase or ladders. You maybe have heard of Jacob's ladder. That's what this is a reference to. The connecting point, the mesh point between heaven and earth, where the divine and human are intersecting. It's what our worship is meant to convey, this sense of transcendence and yet touching us in an intimate, personal way. The place where heaven and earth interlock, and it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so this reference point, Jacob, as many things in the Old Testament, when God shows up, they rename a place, or they put down an Ebenezer. In this place, in Genesis 32, Jacob calls this place Bethel. Beth, house. El, God, house of God. And then Jesus referencing this is saying, "I am the house of God. I'm where holiness dwells. I am God personified. I am God with skin on, if you were." And he's right here in front of Nathanael and Philip. The word became flesh and tabernacles among us. God houses himself among us forever, collapsing the distance between humanity and God. For us, what this can do is foster hope, a sense that our stories matter, that we are actually called into fellowship with him, into walking before his face, his sight, all our days. And I love that at the beginning of the 1 Samuel passage, it says that in verse 3 that the lamp of God had not gone out. no matter how dark or unclear, no matter how murky or gray it seems. God's lamp has not gone out. The flame of God's light remains. And that's what Epiphany is ultimately about. The manifestation of the revealing of the glory of Jesus Christ as the Son, that this risen King continues to issue a summons to you and to me that I am the light of the world. Darkness cannot overcome it. We prayed in our collect, in our prayer together, that our lives might make Christ known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. That is your vocare, your vocation, as you go out from this place, to make Christ known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. In your particular way, and in places that God places you in his providence, you are called of God to live before his face in that way. So I just want to close by blessing you from the end of the book of Hebrews, as we are encouraged that the good shepherd may equip you with everything you need for doing his will. May he produce in you through the power of Jesus Christ every good thing that is pleasing to him. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.